we may or whatever.
This meeting is being recorded.
There you go. Thank you.
Okay, cool. And I think instead of sending the file over email, the best if you upload it to the meeting.
The wiki.
Yeah. Because it will land there anyways.
Okay. All right. That's what I'll do.
Okay. So I think, let's jump, please. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you for inviting me. Good morning. Let's see. We're going to talk about Nephio, but I see it's a small group. We're not going to wait for more people, right? We have all the right people here, correct?
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. We have people here. We don't know if we have the right people. But yeah, I think we shouldn't wait for more. It's like over 7 minutes past.
Yes, I think we should just go forward.
So I think we record this and people can watch it.
So let me ask. I assume that people in the group heard about Nephio, know a little bit about it. How deep should I go? How broad should I go? This is an audience that knows a little bit, right?
We know a little bit, but what I would suggest, Tal, is that for other people who are going to review it who may not have the knowledge, why don't you just do a high level run by about here's Nephio. This is what the intent is. This is what we're trying to accomplish. And I think that'll help.
So can you see the screen that I shared?
Yes, you did.
Okay,
that's great.
Good. So Nephio is a new Linux Foundation project. I think about 6 months old now, if I'm not wrong. It is funded for the first year by Google. And with the idea that after that first year, something else will happen. So that's still up in the air. Also for the first year, the structure is, or sorry, for the first 6 months, I should amend it. For the first 6 months, the structure is a little Google heavy. That is, Google decided that to kickstart the project for the first 6 months, they would lead the TSC. They would be chairs on the three SIGs. Originally, there were four SIGs. We've reduced it to three. But the co-chairs would be from other companies. And also, the other interesting thing that for the initial TSC, the question is, well, who would vote for the TSC, right, where the project doesn't exist yet? Mm-hmm. They made the decision that anybody who threw their hat in the ring to be in the TSC became a member of the TSC. So I think we have 20 members of the TSC right now. Chair of the TSC is Kandan from Google, and co-chair is Sana from TELUS. So, we have... Right. So, but that is a temporary structure for the first 6 months to kickstart the project. Then mm-hmm. we're going to elect a real TSC. Mm-hmm. The chairs right now are probably real. So I will mention I am co-chair of SIG number two because I am from Red Hat. So, in case I didn't introduce myself, my name is Tal Lerang. I am a senior principal engineer at Red Hat and the Telco Solutions group.
Okay.
So and generally there's a lot of interest in Nephio from Red Hat and interest in continuing investing and looking at it. I'm not the only one from Red Hat who is involved, but I threw my hat in the ring to help with the administration. So what is Nephio? It is a Greek word. I think it's a kind of cloud. I'm not exactly sure. Yeah. A lot of people think the IO is like Nephio. It's not. It is Nephio. I also heard people pronounce it Nephew, which is cute. You can see the participating organizations. You know, any Linux Foundation project has to have this wall of icons. I can tell you from Red Hat's perspective, to get the icon here, you don't need to do much. So I don't want to tell you to take this, how deep to take this. Participation levels vary, I will say that. right? So having the icon here could say a lot and doesn't have to say that much. If gotcha. That gives you the diplomatic description. So, okay, so what does Nephew try to do? There's a mission statement here, but I'll tell you in my own words. And I should say another thing. We're at the early stages of the project still. Yes, about 6 months have passed, but we still are carving the basics, right? Carving the basic goals, aligning everybody who is involved. I think we have clear goals, but I can't, you know, the devil is in the details. So we're still at the stage of carving out the details. That means that different people in the project who are involved might give you different versions of what they think the project should be and where it's going. You invited me, so you're getting my version. Yeah, I think it's good. I think it's best. But I actually, no, I do not think that's best, because for this project to succeed, really, it has to be a community project. And I think Google understands that. I understand Google coming to this in good faith, a true open source project, a true open community project. You can see it in how they structured it initially, with insisting that co-chairs will come from other companies. And once voting begins, you know, in the true sense, Google could be voted out of being at the TSC or anything like that. And I think they're totally open to that. They want this to be led by the community, because they understand that that's the only way it could succeed. That's how I take it, in good faith. The only way for it to succeed is not for me to dictate my own vision, but really for the community to get aligned. And we're in the process of doing that right now. And if you want to become a part of that process, you absolutely can. You just have to join the meetings, and you know, it's Linux Foundation, it's open. The mission, as I understand it, our goal is to find a way to easily deliver network functions, CNFs, on Kubernetes. This is not a new thing, right? We've been, ever since Kubernetes has crept into telco, there have been successful attempts to have network functions running on top of Kubernetes. Bare Metal and, you know, in other places, Red Hat has given several keynotes, I think, where we showed Kubernetes running network functions, OpenShift, you know, our Kubernetes. I'm sure everybody here in your company probably has something running that does it. So it's not that it's impossible. It's definitely possible. The problem is that it is difficult. There are numerous challenges. Some of them have to do with the fact that Kubernetes is new, relatively new. Not so much new as a product, but new as a paradigm. A lot of you remember, a lot of you are still using OpenStack, right? And OpenStack, even if it was new, it mimicked concepts that we were already familiar with in clouds. So OpenStack had a certain maturity to it already when it came out. Kubernetes is very different. In two ways, I would say Kubernetes is very different. One, well, it focuses on containers and not virtual machines, right? And for many, that was the big, big shift, right? From VMs to containers. Changes everything, really, in terms of development and deployment. Now, you can use VMs on Kubernetes as well. There are a few solutions. At Red Hat, we support Kubevert, which is great. So in many ways, you can continue working with virtualized workloads on Kubernetes. And there are even various hybrid virtualization scenarios, like gVisor from Google, and forgetting the name of another one. But there are a few solutions that are kind of hybrid container virtualization to give you virtualization features while you're using containers. So,
yeah, there's Kata containers, which is
exactly. Thank you. The K one. Kata containers. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
The K one.
It's all a K one in Kubernetes. Yeah. Right?
There is already an overlap, I think, between what Anuket is trying to do and what Nefio is trying to do. So Anuket tries to run VNFs and CNFs in their cloud infrastructure with minimal integration.
Excellent.
Overlapping, but we are focusing on the runtime capabilities. So what we are trying to do is that we are specifying how, let's focus on Kubernetes, how a Kubernetes should look like, what features it needs to support. And we expect that the CNFs will have the same expectation from the platform. So that's what Anuket specifications are doing.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense to me. And I'll say generally, I'm very pro virtual machines and Kubernetes. From my perspective, containers is not the big deal of Kubernetes. It's the second issue that's more complicated to me. Kubernetes is not a cloud platform. Yeah. It is not an Etsy, NFE style Vim. Kubernetes is an orchestrator. Mm-hmm. That is something that I always start with trying to teach Kubernetes and what it does.
Right, but the clusters, but you still have the clusters. You still have the underlying infrastructure. You're right.
Yes. Sure, right? Platform is a relative term. You can call platform things at various levels, right? Mm-hmm. The infrastructure is also a platform to an extent. So, but that's what makes it so different from something like OpenStack. And not only that, it's an extensible orchestrator, right? So if you worked in the OpenStack world, yeah, you could potentially create another component. Right, there's Neutron, it's been a while, Nova, there's Heat, you can add these extra components to your structure that do more things, but in the world of Kubernetes, you can do them with workloads. That is, the platform is designed to be very extensible, right? I'm talking about Kubernetes operators, custom resource definitions. So it is an intrinsic part of the platform that it's an extensible orchestrator. See, I called it a platform. All right, and so that's the other challenge, right? Which I would call thinking differently. But the third challenge, that it is immature compared to other cloud platforms, especially in networking. And for us telco folk, that's a big problem, right? So out of the box, I don't have to tell you guys, but Kubernetes has a very opinionated and simple idea of how networking works. Every pod gets its own IP address. Remarkably, even though Kubernetes really came out in 2014, it came out with only IPv4 support. Amazing, right? IPv6 could have been, a real change in how we think about IPAM and manage addresses, but no, it came much later. It came only recently. We had dual stack IPv4, IPv6 support in Kubernetes, as you know. This very opinionated view, but a very simple view, right? To bring networking into Kubernetes, you need CNI. It's a very simple, the membrane is very, very thin. You just run a command line and it provides things, right? So Kubernetes decided to have an opinion on networking, but then not to have an opinion at the same time.
But Tal, you know that's been a big thorn in our side, right?
Yeah, I'm mentioning it as one of the thorns, my side too. So the community has found workarounds and solutions. As I said, we've made it work, right? It's not that that it was unworkable, but the problem is that we have lots of different solutions, the total narrative is very different for different solution providers, let's call it, right? Integrators, etc. Operators want different things, so standardize on different things. So we're reaching a point where Kubernetes does not equal Kubernetes. They're not your target platform and your CNF requirements, it might be hard to meet them in some cases. There's no standard packaging for Kubernetes, right? Helm has kind of become a de facto standard in some places, which is extremely unfortunate because Helm sucks and is causing a lot of problems, we hear, for many people. As you use Helm more and more and as it grows, you get to the point where you have the your inputs, right? The values become a very complicated matrix of properties that are not standardized in any way, not in the meta model and not in the actual data. And it's painful, right? And Helm is also a text-based templating, which is horrible for YAML. You can see how much I love Helm. And it's also just a day one solution, right? The way Helm works is horrible for making changes later on, if at all. It might not it's even be useful. Yeah, in many cases, you just have to rip everything out and redeploy. So,
ironically, I see Kubernetes in this. I mean, I've been following Kubernetes since the beginning, and I've also, you know, participated in OpenStack since not the beginning, but within a couple of years after it started. And I see Kubernetes kind of in the same place that OpenStack was 3 years in.
Yep.
It was really raw around the edges. There are a lot of gaps.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So everything I'm mentioning here is kind of why Nefio exists. Now, that's a lot of stuff that I mentioned, right? And there's a... Yeah, so it's like, okay, so where do we focus on? So I think we've all agreed that the only way, you know, a lot of us are veterans from previous Linux Foundation open source attempts, I'll call it. ONAP, OPNFE, OSM. You know, we've been here before, right?
Yeah. So we are literally the veterans of OPNFE because Anuket is the combination of OPNFE.
Exactly. Yeah, and I've been involved in ONAP and in OpenO before that. So even before I was at Red Hat. So there's, you know, I'm the telco orchestration guy who has the scars to prove it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think all of us on this call have the scars to prove it.
I believe so. Yeah. So okay. So what does that mean for now? You know, here's a new project. You know, it's cloud native, Kubernetes focused. How do we not repeat the mistakes we've done in the past? And I think we've all decided collectively to have an extremely narrow focus. We're not trying to create another ONAP. We're not trying to create something that would solve every single problem that we have under the sun. We are trying, as I understand it, to do one specific thing, deliver network functions. Which means we're not trying to define network functions. We're not trying to package them. We're not trying to define. We're not doing service orchestration, right? We're really focusing on the specific thing, the lowest level problem that we have, which is getting the network function running in the first place. And that does, you know, the scope is not even tiny for that, right? Because it involves day one, day two. It involves all the problems, challenges that I mentioned before in terms of networking. And actually, I didn't mention a very big issue too, which is infrastructure. Now, infrastructure is not new to, the challenge of managing infrastructure requirements is not new to Kubernetes. We absolutely had it with OpenStack and before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I gave a presentation to this is more than a month ago, I think, at Nefio, which I called the bifurcated challenge of network functions. I might share it here if there's interest in following that specifically. So why do I call it bifurcation? Because network functions are pretty special workloads. On the one hand, they do the normal stuff that we do in cloud. There's just code that runs, right? And it could be pods, it's services, or your virtual machines, et cetera.
But it has different characteristics.
Much different.
Yeah, yeah. Different. Obviously, of course, right? I'll focus on one specific aspect here, right? That it's very vertically integrated, right? So a lot of network functions expect things from the operating system, from the machine. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They need a runtime kernel in some cases. They need certain drivers to be installed. They need SRIOV configured. They need NUMA pages defined in a certain way. Sometimes to deploy a network function, you actually have to go into the machine's BIOS and change things, right? Yep. Using Redfish or anything else. That's kind of remarkable in terms of cloud workloads. And in many ways, it's antagonistic to the whole idea of cloud, which is a generic platform where you run something. So here come these telco workloads that say, oh, I'm not generic at all. I need specific hardware requirements ready for me before I even start running. And it's not only per cluster, it's per specific node, right? You know, to, yep. to write CNI configs, if you're using something like Multis, right? You have to know not only which cluster you're running in, but what node you're running in. And have some idea of what the configs are for other aspects of the other nodes there, so there won't be any conflicts, things like that, right? So we already have a management problem there, challenge, let's call it, management challenge. Mm-hmm. So I call this a bifurcation, because I think when we work with CNFs, we're doing the usual workload stuff, but we're also doing infrastructure stuff. And they're integrated together vertically, but then we have to find a way to express it in our automation, right? Which has been extremely challenging, right? Because it means you have to install the cluster with certain requirements already in place. How do you package those requirements and network functions, right? What does it even mean? And we know that every vendor does this entirely different. If you're working with OpenShift, if you're working with Google, if you're working with Wind River, if you're working with VMware, they install mm-hmm. clusters in completely different ways. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we have efforts to unify this. There's the cluster API. There are projects like, blanking on its name. What's the Amazon one? Crossplane, right? So there are, sorry, I was just opening something up. Yeah, so there are attempts to solve this, but here's the thing. Also, we've decided in FEO, we don't want to reinvent wheels. If there are other projects doing things, we're not going to do that. Our job, as I understand it, is to fill in the gaps. You know, what are the things that other projects are not doing that we can add? And maybe also from us, we can contribute upstream to other projects to help them integrate better together and work better with telco. Right. So my view as in Nefio, we don't only have to do Nefio work. We can do upstream work in sister projects that are also doing things that we think need to be fixed or are important. So we should also work kind of as ambassadors to these other projects and help fix things for our requirements. So Nefio is a place where we gather these requirements together and clarify them very well with use cases. That is the job of SIG number one, which is the network architecture SIG. SIG number two automation is the kind of solutions. This is the actual code operators that will actually, this is the engineering SIG that will actually produce things that we think need to be developed. So what are we going to develop? We're still working that out. we're gonna have the SIG automation meeting today actually, and we're gonna continue talking about a component list. So we've had a few suggestions so far, and we're going to get some more and try to align around, well, what components are we actually going to do? And again, there's always tension here regarding scope. Our tendency here is always to limit the scope, because we know that the more we add to Nefio, the harder it's going to be to succeed. So we're going to be very conservative with that. On the other hand, you know, we do have to include things that have to be included, right? Which doesn't say much, but yeah. So we have different opinions. And since you invited me, I'm going to show you my proposal. It has been shown to the Nefio community, but we're still getting other proposals in. And I've already heard some people who don't disagree with some of my choices here. So that's fine. This is the proposal is meant to facilitate discussion and try to understand what we're doing. So what is my suggestion? So in this diagram, I think the font is a little small. Can you see it okay? Read it okay?
Let me get my glasses. Yeah, that's old eyes.
Me too. I'll try. I don't know.
No, it's good. I can actually read it. Man.
Yeah.
Hey, hey, I resemble that comment.
Yeah.
Stop calling people exactly what they are. No, I'm just kidding. We're young at heart. So what's the color code here? Orange, most of this is orange. I call the cloud platform tooling providers. This is stuff that already exists from all kinds of Red Hats and similar companies. So they give you all this orange stuff. We have these things. The cyan up here is stuff that comes from the telco operators and their partners. So, you know, they already are invested in orchestration solutions, OSS, BSS, of course, and that comes with a lot. Right. So
yeah, I was going to say that's a huge.
Yeah. Yeah. They're only huge. Tank. Yeah. The size here does not represent the complexity. Right. So
right. That's a very boxes, complex.
Some of these boxes are far bigger than other boxes. Right. So, yeah, especially this one. It's a little bit like Doctor Who, where it's bigger on the inside. Right. You go into.
Yeah.
So, don't worry about the size of the boxes. Yes. Well, luxury is relative too.
Well, right? Let me say I'll reference an old online game. You're in a twisty little maze of rooms all the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, here's the thing that I always mention to the Nephio group. We always have to think of ourselves as being brownfield. That is,
yeah.
Anything you do in telco, you're not working in a vacuum. You know, talking about cloud native is nice and fun, but it's not like, oh, there's a new project here with Kubernetes and we can do whatever we want, the entire stack. No, we're working with enormous investments, multi-year, multi-decade investments in telco. And we can't come in and say, oh, please replace this with that. That's not going to happen. So again, another kind of obstacle or challenge for Nephio is you have to work with what you have.
Yeah.
We're not going to be able to pick and choose these things. So that's why a lot of this is not blue. Blue is where I'm saying where Nephio can intervene. And you can see it's kind of there's not a lot of blue boxes here. So
let me ask you a question. And maybe I missed it because I came in late. I'm still trying to figure out how Nephio relates to ONAP.
Yeah, I would say no relation. ONAP might be an attempt to replace this network service orchestrator here on top, the cyan thing, with a few things underneath, because it loosely follows the Etsy NFE pyramid, which is a very classic orchestrator model where you have something on top and then you have lower level orchestrators.
Right.
And then you keep going down, down, down until you actually deploy something, right? And if you've worked with ONAP and you try to say, okay, how does ONAP deal with CNFs? Basically, it takes a Helm chart, wraps it in Tosca and a CSAR, moves it through the service orchestrator and all the other components. At the end of the day, you just have something calling a Helm command. So you have an extremely complicated Helm caller, right? That is ONAP at this point. Nephio doesn't try to address that at all. We're not trying to pick a different orchestrator. We're saying you already have an orchestrator. It might be ONAP. It's probably not, right? But you know, whatever OSS and orchestration system you have, that's not what we're trying to solve. We're trying to solve what happens with that Helm chart. So we're trying to solve the resources that actually come out. What do they actually do? And how do they work? Because right now it's a complete mess. Complete mess. I'll tell you that. So we have the cyan up here. And by the way, feel free to jump in and ask or comment, no problem at all. The green ones is what I call the network equipment provider stuff. So they actually provide the CNF workloads, but they also do other things. There's quite a few providers that use smart NICs, of course, and GPUs, DPUs. And here I added a little box. I kind of was thinking what to call it for a while, but I decided on the name of adjacent PNFs. And what I mean by that is, you know, we're not packaging PNFs here, of course, they already exist, but a lot of CNF workloads do have requirements for configuring, you know, it might be a top of the rack switch. It might be a router. There's something in the environment that they have to work with, which is a PNF. And that's a requirement in their deployment as well. So that's why I'm calling it adjacent. That's the word I came up with. And it is important, you know? So that's another aspect that needs to be considered. So, okay, so let's move to the blue ones, where I think that Nefio can provide something new and needs to provide something new. And before I get into that, I'm going to talk about a very interesting assumption that Nefio makes. So you'll see there's something here at the bottom called the workload clusters, right? This is, of course, the normal stuff where we run the network functions, the workloads. But here above, there's something that I called management clusters. Now, this is something that Red Hat has been doing for a very long time, but not everybody has, right? Because, you know, we need something to manage our workload clusters, right? Something to install the operating system in Kubernetes there, you know, to manage the connectivity to them, if it's SD-WAN or whatever it is remotely. And, you know, if sometimes it's a place where we run orchestrators, right? But we need, there is a prior step that has to happen just logically and physically. Now, the fact that it itself is a Kubernetes cluster is a kind of weird assumption, right? We have another Kubernetes cluster here. So we're assuming in Nefio that your manager itself is running on Kubernetes. Okay, now it's a completely different domain, right, of resources, right? Because in the workload cluster, we're actually running network functions and the things that they need. In the management cluster, we're running management software, right? We're orchestration stuff and high-level connectivity stuff, analytics, policy management from a high level, CI/CD, possibly, you know, parts of it. So this is a very interesting assumption that Nefio makes, and it's the key, I think, for a lot of the things we do in Nefio, because, again, remember, Kubernetes is an extensible orchestrator. So if our management is Kubernetes, it means we can run components there that are custom, right? So if you think to the kind of Etsy idea of a VNFM, whether it's SVNFM or GVNFM, right? These things are kind of management software for network functions, but they'll be running somewhere, right, in your management infrastructure. But in the Nefio world, we can say, well, that's running on Kubernetes already. So it could do all the Kubernetes stuff. It can create its own custom resources. It could have operators that connect it to other things. So this has become key to a lot of our thinking in Nefio, right? That we're basically trying to do stuff in a Kubernetes cluster that is management related. This is great, I think, right? This is like a real change in thinking that can allow us to do things that we didn't do before, because a lot of times we treated these VNFMs as these black boxes, our orchestrators black boxes. They can still be proprietary closed code, of course, but since they're working with Kubernetes resources, what we call KRM, the Kubernetes resource model, it's going to be custom resources. It's going to be other things. It means you can chain these operators together. So you can take management that comes from one provider and management components from other providers and have them working together in some way. Maybe you create your own operator that kind of stitches them together. Maybe you can create a chain of operators that an input from one operator goes into another. It opens up so many possibilities, very interesting and useful possibilities in terms of orchestration. So that is the kind of environment that I'll start with here, where I'm assuming that we already have things running on the management cluster. We have a CI/CD pipeline probably that connects to, you know, our blueprints, inventory, and all that stuff. Of course, we have something called a cluster installer. So I mentioned the cluster API, Crossplane. There's Terraform. There's all this proprietary stuff. So if they already work, you know, if you have a cluster installer that is based on a CRD, the CRD will be defined in this management cluster. Well, that means you can create that CRD. You can manage it. You can do day two changes to that. Now, you assume that there's an operator somewhere that actually does the heavy lifting, right? but we're not going to reinvent that. In Nefio, we're just going to talk to it, right? So so one thing, so I gave a presentation again recently about a POC that I thought that we need in Nefio. I call it the meta scheduler. So there's a link here. You know, let me share this link too with you on the chat. So you can follow. And I'll be very clear. This is my proposal. This has not been approved by Nefio. This is my opening shot of how I think we can work. We've already had proposals that are somewhat different from this. So trying to balance my windows here with secret stuff and public stuff.
While you are doing this, I think, look, I have a different view of the scope of Nefio, and maybe that's why it's
good. Yes, please. Yeah, anyway, please.
In my head, like seeing those, you know, those three legs of Nefio, I had the idea that Nefio is running only on the workload clusters. It is not right. Orchestrating clusters, but what it does is basically obstructing this chaos, which is caused by the like pluggable nature of Kubernetes into some well-defined API, what we can refer to in the CNAPP descriptors.
Right, you know, I'll let me open something very quickly here. So I won't do the whole presentation, but I basically agree with you 100%. That was my starting point as well. But when I started thinking more and more about this bifurcation problem, as I called it, the fact that that we have this vertically integrated workloads, I came up with, I was trying to brainstorm and really think, you know, here I'm showing the manager, and then there's the assumption that the manager is actually a cluster. So we have a chicken and egg problem, right, with infrastructure requirements, because yes, it would be great if we can do everything in the workload cluster, but the workload cluster might not exist yet, right? You need to install it according to the infrastructure requirements, you know, runtime kernel, drivers, all that stuff needs to be set up. There's a lot of stuff that needs to be set up.
Yeah, but why is this an Nefio problem? That's what I don't get.
Ah, well, because we decided to make it our problem. we thought that this is such a big problem, and part of the problem that is it is so poorly. This is what I think this is one of the biggest challenges in the narrative, right? So if Nefio can do anything to help with this, that would be a tremendous step forward for the industry. Now I'll say that my success criteria for Nefio, I don't think it has to be 100% successful, right? You know, we might end up developing 4 or 5 components that we together as a community decide are important for us to do, are in scope, and we should do. You know, maybe only 3 of them would really be great. You know, it's rare that this is designed by committee stuff. Maybe 3 of them would, maybe 2 of them will be really useful and people will really take them up. Maybe the other 3 will be kind of useful. Some vendors will want to use them. Some will want to use stuff that they have or do things a little bit differently. Even if Nefio only has 50% success in terms of its components being used, I would still call that a smashing success, because the point here is not to solve all our problems. The point is to make things easier. You know, if we can reduce costs, right, of onboarding and management of network functions by 50%, to me, that's amazing.
Actually, 50% would be amazing. But even 10 or 20% is.
Right, exactly. So yeah, to continue my thought here. So what I came up with is in presentation, and you guys can watch the whole thing if you want, that I said, well, there are 2 ways that we can access this bifurcation. There's this thing on the left where I say, well, you know, our orchestration client, that's the client here, can work directly with the workload clusters. which I call the right path, and then separately with the management cluster. So that's kind of what you were suggesting, right? Nephio doesn't have to do anything in the managed cluster. Just assume it's there, assume that there's stuff working there, and we're going to call things on the workload clusters. That might be Nephio components, and the management cluster will do what it always does, all the installation and management of the workload clusters and other things. And I called that bifurcated access. But then I said, well, there's another thing. You know, there are a lot of disadvantages to this approach, right? You end up having to create tools, orchestration tools that work with both. And the workload stuff is the usual Kubernetes things. It's just kubectl access, right? Access to Kubernetes API. But your management stuff is going to be extremely complicated and proprietary. I mean, this is basically what we do now on the left. We work with all these managers, and each one of them has its own API. Some are declarative, some are not declarative. And this is what we're doing now. Yeah, it works. But this other idea here seemed much more interesting to me, right? Which is, if we do everything in the management cluster, right, it knows all the workload clusters. It could call all the APIs there, and it can also solve our chicken and egg problem, because the management cluster should always be up 24/7, hopefully. And it can install and reinstall and modify workload clusters on day two, right? And so we always have somewhere that we can work, and we don't have to worry about the workload cluster being up or not, right? So this kind of delegated access where we only work on the left path, I think is far more reliable and far more scalable. I do some comparisons.
So the good news is I see, I think we need to work on it, but Anikit and Nephio, I think, have a lot of touch points, but very little overlap as far as I can see.
I tend to agree. I really think these can be sister projects. And again, our basic thing in Nephio is we don't want to reinvent or do something that another project is doing.
Right. So, well, Anikit followed that as well, right? So we didn't touch anything in ONAP.
Right.
You said, hey, we'll interface with ONAP.
Right.
Right. Anyway, I hope this would answer the question of why I think, at least, you know, here I say this is a very big deal. The fact that, you know, it ends up that most of our interesting work would actually happen in the management cluster, but not only. So that's why I think that we should do both. So you see, I have blue components here and blue components here. So the first component that I thought would be important is what I call this meta scheduler. So this project, so this is my POC, it's called Planter. And what it tries to do, there's a recording of the presentation I gave too that you can see, it was just a 20-minute presentation. And it tries to solve this bifurcation problem by saying, you know, you can have a Helm chart that includes all the resources that you need for your CNFs, all the requirements. And this would include workload resources, pods, services, daemon sets, all that stuff, CRDs, right, whatever it is. But then you can also include in your package, whether it comes from Helm or Tosca or something else, your management cluster resources, right? Remember, completely different domain. So it would have Kubernetes resources, custom resources, definitions that might go to cluster API, to cross-plane. You know, I'll show you, for example, very quickly, just a demo of what I called a seed for, this would be a definition of a network function. So it actually has a resource here, which is the definition of the cluster itself, that this would go to some sort of operator that actually installs the cluster, whatever it is. I say I want a real-time kernel, NUMA, stuff like that, SD-WAN connectivity. And then, in the same file here, I get the usual Kubernetes workload stuff, a service account. I have a service. I have a CRD that I need. I think I have somewhere here a deployment. Right, so I'm mixing together all the resources that I need for the network function to work. Some of them will run in a management cluster. Some of them will run in a workload cluster. And by the way, it could be multiple workload clusters, right? Because we do have in scope for Nephio is multi-cluster workloads, because those are pretty much required. So what Planter does is make sure that you can declare all your intent. And what it's going to do, it's going to put, it's going to kind of sort things out, put some of the things in a management cluster. And by the way, it could be another management cluster too. It could deploy, because we might have a hierarchy of some sort of management clusters as well. And then it will wait for, you know, the workload cluster to come up if it's right and everything, and then do all the workload stuff. So as a meta scheduler, it's kind of solves the chicken and egg problem, because you don't have to worry about what I call these hard dependencies, right? If the workload cluster doesn't exist, or, you know, there are also some little things in Kubernetes having to do with, unfortunately, Kubernetes is only 99% declarative and not 100%. There are these little things, you know, you have to create a CRD before you create a CR. If you try to reverse that order, you will get an error. So you can't really declare your intent all the time. Of course, you have to create a namespace before you put things in the namespace, things like that. So in the world of Helm charts, we just were careful to define the YAML in order, which is ridiculous and silly and not a declarative way to work, right? So Planter as a meta scheduler doesn't care about order. It will handle order and location for you anyway. So that's one component that I thought would be very important to solve this kind of bifurcation issue, where it solves it for you, right? You just put all your requirements together. Let's look into workload clusters a bit, because we are running out of time a little bit. Sorry, guys. Yeah. I ramble a lot and go on and on.
This has been very good.
Thank you. So two other things that I think are extremely important, and this is on the workload side. One of them has been a passion project for me for a while. I've been trying to create actually a SIG for this in CNCF, and I've worked with various groups, and it never had a home. But what it is, sometimes I call it Multis Part 2. Here I'm calling a network management manager for Multis. So Multis is great in many ways. It solves the lower level plumbing problem of adding extra NICs to pods. We all understand what Multis does. The lower level technical thing here is solved, but what is the point of adding a NIC to a pod? What are we trying to achieve? We're managing planes, right? Data planes, control planes, other planes that we're adding to our workloads, and managing them at scale is not something that Multis does, right? So in the OpenStack days, we had network as a service. We had a component called Neutron, right? That asked it. We told it what kind of network we want, and it gave it to us, right? And I'm not saying we need Neutron for Kubernetes. There's a lot of things with Neutron which are wrong, right? Neutron uses overlay networks. We need much more flexibility than what Neutron provided. And there were all these hacks that we did in Neutron that kind of worked.
Yeah, a lot of that had to do with when it was first.
It's an evolutionary thing.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to be careful not to say, oh, Tal is wanting to go back to Neutron. No, I don't. Yeah. But what I do want is I think we need Neutron style management at scale for Kubernetes. So here's the problem. And, you know, I had my own POC for this as well. There have been other projects that identified this problem and tried to do something. This is my own POC. But the issue is this, that creating these CNI configs for network attachment definitions is impossible for a packager to do. They are specific to the cluster, specific to the node on the cluster in which it will be deployed, you know, if it's SRIOV, for example. But also they need to be managed together as a group. You know, if you have multiple of these on multiple nodes, you have to make sure that the IP address ranges are not conflicting with each other. You have to be, depending on which CNI plugin you're actually using, right? If it's SmartNICs, you know, there's so much going on there. And the idea that a designer at the high level here of like the CNF blueprints will be able to write those CNI configs for that connectivity, it's impossible. It's just a different role with different knowledge and different view. So the CNI configs can really only be eventually created when you actually have the workload cluster running with its requirements. So what we need is something that we can say, look, I need a Mac VLAN with these characteristics, you know, something that we can give various high level requirements of what we need. By high level, I mean maybe medium.
So let me ask you a question, because Acrana was conceived as sort of a database of these, or catalog, that probably is a better way.
I would say catalog is a better word.
Yeah, catalog of these requirements. And, you know, for take it what it will, is that something, you know, is that possible to reuse some of that? I don't know how much work was done.
So, there's all this orange stuff here, you know, which, as I said, some of these boxes are far bigger than others, right? You know, for example, there's the site inventory, right? Think of ONAP ANAI, right? This is a big gap that we have in the open source world. It's a very, very important component, right? It is kind of the source of truth. It's a mega catalog. But then we have other things like, you know, the CNF blueprint repository. Is it going to be Helm charts? Is it going to be some sort of Tosca repository of CSARs? There's a lot of stuff out there. And, you know, I will say, when I say that Nefio should develop these blue components, we cannot ignore the orange ones at all, or even the cyan ones. We will have to work with them. So, yeah, it's a brownfield. We have to take into account that those things exist, but we might need to be a little bit creative about how we interact with those things. So it's a very relevant question, and I think it's a challenge, right? How do you use existing systems to do maybe new things, to teach an old dog new tricks kind of things, right? So I have done some creative things. For example, an image repository, right? Something like Quay, a container image repository, right? We use it to store container images, right? Usually. Actually, we can use it to store anything. As a repository, it's kind of dumb. It just knows that it has these tarballs, which have layers. They're usually layers for container images, but they can really do anything. So I've actually used it to store Tosca CSARs.
So just timing, I actually have to drop.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay. Me too.
I'm sorry. I went a little bit too fast.
No. It's been great. I think
this has been awesome. Follow up.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you. I think there's a lot of synergy here. I don't see any.
I see overlap, Beth. I don't see any overlap per se.
Yeah,
I think there's a reason for us to do some joint work. You know, because on either side of it, it looks as though we have a lot to contribute from a perspectives aspect. Both Nefio to Anikit and Anikit to Nefio. I think there's some opportunity there for some collaboration.
Right.
I'd be interested in continuing that on throughout. But Tal, thank you so much for this. It's been really useful. And I'm going to stop the recording now.